Oh, yes, it is. And you can call us at 617-779-7937. And if you believe our friend Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, the big tell-all, the big expose, the big investigation of their own company is going to be released tomorrow, right?
Really?
Didn't he say,
no, oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so remember we had him on. He goes, if I had to guess, if I had to guess when the Atlantic is going to, or the New York Times is going to release their big internal investigation of the Diana Rossini situation, which is an investigation of their own company, they are going to dump it on the 3rd. They said maybe the 2nd, right before the big holiday weekend, so it doesn't make them look so bad, doesn't incriminate them as much.
That's,
so
that's my favorite, when companies, you know, investigate themselves, you know, like big tobacco after, you know, no, you put smoke in your lungs? No, there's no evidence that leads to any health issues down the road. Oh, we have, there's a concussion committee. The NFL is formed. And the head of it is a rhinoplasty doctor. So he's a surgeon, he's a nose surgeon. Yeah. And we did our own research, and we have found that they're hitting heads like that doesn't create problems down the road. So I'm sure the New York Times will come out with something similar to those other entities.
Absolutely.
You know?
And the best was that teaser story that they came out with last week, you know, basically teasing the big release, where they said, you know, the New York Times reached out to the New York Times and could not get a comment from the New York Times. So, but one thing, it did leak out, and part of the story was that she had gone on the air, I guess, without telling anybody, getting permission at The Athletic, like you're supposed to do when you go on a podcast. Sure. I'm sure that's something that you just stick very close to. Nobody goes on podcasts and tries to promote your product. You have to check the box on all those. But Rossini told a story where she said that she had gotten pulled over by a cop, and that when the cop was about to give her a ticket, she tried to get out of the ticket by FaceTiming this guy's favorite coach. Well, somebody said, if that really happened, I'm going to find the video. Because all these cops now, they wear the old chest with the chest protector with the camera on it. And sure enough, they did. So here is the audio of Diana Rossini getting pulled over on not a very busy road. It looks like a little kind of, you know, neighborhood road. Driving a Jeep Wagoneer. Is that what it was?
Ooh,
looking
fancy.
Like that? Mm-hmm, very fancy. And when the police officer walks up to her passenger side video, she is typing in her phone, man. She is just like, one hand's on the phone, the other hand is pressing buttons. Like, she is like breaking some sort of news.
She wasn't doing that just to show the officer that she didn't have any weapons on her. She was you know, doing it for other reasons.
Yes. So here comes the police officer walking up to the side, and let's play the tape.
So, you're not going to care. I'm an NFL reporter. I just wrote that Sean McDermott got fired from the Bills, and that is what I was just sending a tweet, and I was going to pull over because I have to make calls.
Okay.
I know you don't care, but I'm just letting you know my reason why.
Okay.
It was a work thing, and it was an emergency, for what I know. I have a more updated license. But just take that so you know.
Okay, stop. Stop. So immediately she goes right into, I have a very important job. You ever heard of this guy, Sean McDermott? Oh, yeah. You love football. You're a man.
She didn't even let the officer tell her why he stopped her.
Right.
Didn't even get to say, oh, hi, how you doing? Yeah. Like, she went right into what her excuse was, man.
Yep.
Wow, that's a little bit unsettling.
She just went right into your guy. You like football? I know football players. Hey, you like football? Do you know who I am? I bet you know who I am. Well, yeah, it was. I mean, listen, she's
dude, shameless.
Shameless.
Shameless, man.
Shameless.
There's something, you hear the Reese Witherspoon, her getting pulled over. Say, like, don't you know who I am? Mm. Tiger Woods, I was just talking to the president. Mm. Like, some of these celebrities, man, they're as bad as anybody else.
Well, at least they didn't pull a Mel Gibson and start, you know, making fun of their religion.
That's very true.
Might be the worst one. All right, let's let it roll.
So, obviously, you were on your phone for a while, right? I was on, when you went under the underpass, right? On Garber Square, I was by Library Place. So you're on your phone there. I got behind you, right, by Whole Foods. You continue to be on your phone, right? I understand you have a job.
Football Times. It's like they don't expect you, football fan.
Yeah.
Like, I'm shocked that they fired me. I cannot believe it. You know who was on the phone?
Who?
Brian Gable. He's the
boss of
the job.
Oh,
okay. Are you a fan of Giants or Jets?
I'm not a fan of either, so.
What is your team?
I'm a Vikings fan, unfortunately.
Oh, perfect.
Let's see it.
like this. Can you see the name?
Oh my God, KOC.
Okay, stop, stop. Oh. So at that point, she goes, "Oh,
she got him.
You like the Vikings?" And then she pulls up a text chain, and it says at the top, Kevin O'Connor, and he shows it to him, and he's like, "Oh, hey, look at there. Here we go. Rewind it just a minute, because I want you to hear what he says about the Vikings. Let's take a listen."
Oh my God, KOC.
See what I said? Look what I said to him though just now. Go to the bottom.
Oh my God! Wow, pretty cool.
I love the Vikings. KOC's awesome.
Yeah, he seems like a
dude.
Your
quarterback sucks, though.
Yeah, so he's got to get it. He's got to fix it.
All right, stop it. God. Stop it. So, who's the quarterback at the time that this was recorded? It was JJ. What's his name?
McCarthy.
JJ McCarthy was the quarterback. If you're JJ McCarthy, you're catching strays from this.
She's just like just won't shut up.
She's something else.
Man, she's all wired. She's got all these things ready for her, man. If you don't like this coach, I got another coach for you then.
Hey, man, she is trying to get out of a ticket, though. Those tickets are expensive.
Well, just like...
You know what she makes at the New York Times? That was reported, right? $800,000?
Yeah, dude.
Vrabel had the best relationship. You're with her for when you need her, and then you get the F out of that. Imagine going out to dinner with that.
No. That would drive me nuts, man. Golly.
Let me show you who right now. Look at my phone. Hey, check this out.
The cop's hardly talking. She's basically taking over the whole thing.
Mm.
But, it works. Obviously, she's good at what she does. I mean, this guy is done. Like, KOC? Like, at that point, the ticket was gone. She had done her job. But, God, she is just devious.
Oof. Shameless.
No good.
Trouble. The girl is trouble, man.
She's trouble. Let's hear the rest there if you don't want. Is that the end of it, Stiz?
I mean, he goes back to the car and then comes back again.
Actually, here. We actually have part two of that video. Do you have that, Stiz? Part two of the video? Let's
Can I help you with anything?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was just resting for a few minutes.
Oh, okay. There's no car trouble or anything?
No, not at all. I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh, you don't have to put your feet in. You can leave them out.
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't see that.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, right. And then he said, can I see your feet? Can I smell them? Can I touch them? The Rex Ryan foot video is the greatest video in the history of man. There's not even a question. And it's so great because just like feet are funny. Like he didn't do anything criminal. Just someone found a video on like a foot fetish website of Rex Ryan and his wife. And he loves his wife's feet.
Just put your feet in. You can leave them out.
I've never heard that video before. I'm like, who is that?
Hang on.
That's Rex Ryan's voice?
You've never heard the Rex Ryan foot fetish video?
Nope. You got to see it.
All right. No. But in the 4 o'clock hour, we are going, if you've never heard it, it's truly the greatest thing that the, second only to the Alabama Leprechaun. It's the greatest thing the internet's ever given us.
Okay. All right. I mean, I've heard about it. I've never heard it, though.
Oh, because he gets like all super horny for his wife's feet. He's like, can I touch him? Can I smell him?
Where's the audio from? How did they?
It's so some, what happened was somebody had found a video on a foot fetish website. And they heard the voice like, oh, because you don't see his face. It's a woman in a car. Looks like she's in a park, but she's sitting in the front seat of her car. And her like bare feet are hanging out the window.
Okay.
And this person comes walking up. You don't know who it is, but it's the voice of Rex Ryan. And he's like, oh, hey there, ma'am. He's supposed to be like a cop. And he goes, you got pretty beautiful feet there. And he starts going like, can I smell them? And she's like, sure, God, you can smell them all you want. And somebody found that video and they're like, they did some Googling, and they're like, that's Rex Ryan's
wife.
That's
unbelievable. They made a video, a foot fetish video.
They made a foot fetish video.
Put it out on the internet.
And put it out on the internet, and somebody found it, and of course it was everywhere. And that led to the Wes Welker press conference.
Which was, I think, like one of the best things I've ever seen.
They should retire his number because of that press conference.
Totally agree.
I mean, it was when he was a, we were going to be good foot soldiers, ever. put our best foot forward. And then he got benched for a quarter, didn't
he? Bull crap. Yeah, so, can't have fun.
But we will get to that. But that Diana Rossini thing is just like,
shameless,
I mean,
man.
Boy.
Oh my God. KOC?
Florio makes some good points about the fact that, we'll get into it later, but about the New York Times not being able to come up with the correct information on this. What this means about Rossini's reporting and her insight with the Vikings. I mean, there are some like other questions that arise because of this footage which was found.
Well, all of a sudden now I've seen Vikings fans online saying, hang on, was mm-hmm. our coach
right.
like an informer? Was he somebody who was basically, yep. you know, feeding her stuff
yep.
to get out there? And to that I say, well, that's part of the job.
See, yeah,
like,
but
that part's part of the job.
And I'll be honest, I think that's where you start pulling a string, you'll never stop pulling strings.
Right.
It'll
yeah.
just, one door leads to another door leads yep. to another door.
You see, to me, that part of it is the business part. It's the having a relationship with somebody goes over the line. But if you have a coach that's willing to tell you things that are going on behind the scenes, isn't that your job?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people who are starting to, you know, they think everything Rossini's doing is bad. No, what she allegedly did with Vrabel is bad. That's obviously over the line. But no, having a text chain with a coach, oh man, she's in for it. When she comes back, I didn't realize there were this many people who were just like ready to come out with knives for her.
Oh, yeah.
But it's going to be interesting. I'm ready for this report that drops tomorrow, apparently. Tomorrow evening is when we're going to get it, and it's going to be news dumped on all of us. All right, we have Charlie Davies. We love him. He does a lot of he does play-by-play for the Revs, correct?
He does.
Yep.
All right. He will give us all of the latest on the World Cup, including what an unbelievable day was yesterday, and we'll 2 minutes. We'll be back. Awesome. You got me. Yesterday was the day that the World Cup got me.
Really?
All of the extraneous stuff, you've had me for a couple weeks. The Tartan Army.
Yeah.
The pregame. All that stuff. But yesterday was the day that the matches became must-watch.
And Holland was just crying. They eliminated Ivory Coast. People
yep.
are passionate. It's around a 32. Yep. My God.
Or was that Norway?
No, it's Norway.
Norway, yeah.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
I mean, Erling Haaland, their big star.
Yeah, no, you're thinking okay. Yeah, the country Holland. Holland, but no, it's the player. The striker. Striker.
Well, I didn't know that Bosnia and Herzegovina was one place. I thought it was two different spots.
Hey, it was news to me too, buddy, so don't post sweat.
And I had to Google yesterday, like, when they started spelling Turkey different.
Turkey-ay.
And now it's Turkey-ay or however it's spelled with an I, and there's umlauts in there, and I guess that was 2022, so I didn't feel too stupid on that one. It is Rich, Ken, Ted, right here on 937 WEEI. You can call us at 617-779-7937, and the World Cup's after yesterday. It's been absolutely fantastic, and Charlie Davies, we love having him on, Revs analyst, former BC Eagle, soccer maestro extraordinaire.
And presented by Fanatic Sportsbook. Download the Fanatic Sportsbook app today. Winning hits different here. Double your winnings with Fanatic Sportsbook. 100% profit boost. Fanatic Sportsbook. Winning hits different.
Charlie, what's happening? How you doing?
Hey, Charlie.
Fantastic. Great to hear from you guys.
You too. I wrote this down yesterday after the end of that Germany-Paraguay game, and I wrote these words. I said, there might not be anything better in sports than a World Cup penalty kick mm-hmm. shootout. Do you agree?
Yeah, I love it. I'm not going to lie. I know the heartache it causes, and it's heartbreaking for the players who miss. But at the end of the day, who doesn't love the drama? And who doesn't love Germany getting knocked out by a team that the U.S. absolutely slaughtered?
That is right.
It does make the U.S. look better, right? After they beat a team like Germany, you know. So,
it proves their quality. For sure,
right? The penalty kicks, like, do you like the format? Like, you have 30 extra minutes after regulation, and then you go to it. Like, some people say, why don't you just go right to the kicks afterwards? But do you like the format of overtime and then PKs? How it is in the World Cup?
Yeah, I do. Although I wish golden goal still existed. There's something about, okay, we're gonna do added time, you know, and it's 2 15-minute halves, but a team that goes out and scores can end the game. I loved that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, second best, sure, penalty kicks after extra time.
All right, Charlie, two-part question here for the U.S. and Bosnia tomorrow. If the U.S. wins, what does it mean? How impressive is it? And just long-term, let's say things go crazy and the U.S. wins the whole tournament. Is it bigger than the 1980 Miracle on Ice? Is it like the
that's a good question,
most unbelievable win in United States history?
You know what's funny? I asked my colleagues that today. I mean, I actually said to my colleagues today, if the U.S. were to win this World Cup, that is the biggest win in U.S. sports history, international history. It would be the biggest win, more so than Miracle on Ice, without a doubt. It's just the odds for the U.S. to win the World Cup. It's as difficult as it is, it would be hard. It would be more significant than the U.S. beating Russia in the Olympics, which is crazy to think. That's how I think far, how far the U.S. has to go. All the hurdles they'd have to get over to get to the World Cup final. But if they were to beat Bosnia, to me that would be expected. That's not a surprise. We're a better team than them. We have better individuals than them, and we're playing better than them. So it's a knockout stage, so it's going to be difficult regardless, but we should get by them. And then the next match would be the winner between Belgium and Senegal. And now we're starting to get in the really difficult territory, but still doable territory.
Charlie, all I'm hearing is that this has been a surprise. You know, a lot of people didn't expect USA to come out as and play as well as they have. How good are they? Can you kind of put it in perspective? Because I really honestly... from what I'm hearing, it's a completely different thing than what I'm seeing on TV, because on TV they look excellent.
Yeah, no, the U.S. has had real strong waves since I started following the U.S. men's national team from 1994. There'll be times where I go, oh my God, we're playing with, you know, some of the best teams in the world that we can match up. I happened to be a part of a team in 2009 where we beat Spain. They hadn't lost in 2 years. We beat them in a semifinals of the FIFA Confederations Cup a year before the 2010 World Cup, which they won. And then they went on to win the Euro. So across, 6 years, they were unbeatable. And we happened to beat them 2-0 in that tournament, which would have been one of the most significant wins. It still is one of the most significant wins. But if we were able to win that final against Brazil, that would have been the biggest triumph in U.S. soccer history. But I think with this team right now, the difference is individually, they're all playing at big clubs. They're super talented, but they hadn't yet played together as a team in terms of that 2002 team that went to a quarterfinals. That was a team, and they were larger than some of their parts. Now, if you tell me that this team can play with that spirit and that collectiveness with the individual talent, now we're talking about this, the quote unquote golden generation. Is actually a golden generation because they're doing something significant and making history. So that's what everyone's waiting for, is this team to elevate and now achieve things that haven't been done before.
That would be incredible, Charlie, for sure. I'm curious what you think, how they played, you know, against Turkey. They sat a lot of the starters. Christian Pulisic hasn't played since the first half of the opening game. That's a lot of time off to between games. Do you think that was the right strategy, not play guys against Turkey and to keep them rested, and guys had yellow cards and that kind of thing? Do you think they'll be ready to go, or is that amount of time off, is that something that's kind of tricky and you'll be looking forward?
I think in this case, the rest is going to help the U.S. In this match. You want fresh legs. It's a grind. They had a long season into World Cup. The emotions are high. The energy's high. They're up there with, I think they're top three in distance covered in this World Cup with the intensity of their runs. If you can get a break, if you can get a game off to rotate and you have that luxury, because many teams don't have that luxury, take it. We just saw it today, Norway, they rested all their players against France that was played in Foxborough. I went to it with my family and everyone was kind of bummed. Everyone wanted to see Haaland versus Mbappe.
Yep.
But today, it was the right decision because they went through. They beat the Ivory Coast. So I think it's obviously case by case, but I think in this case, it's the right thing for the U.S. to have rested their players so they're ready to go.
Charlie, which country has the best commentator to scream the word goal?
We do, and it's Andres Cantor, without a doubt. I work with his son, Nico, and, you know, they're a Miami family. And I was very fortunate that when I scored against Mexico in a World Cup qualifier, Andres Cantor was the commentator for that game. It was, I remember it was on Telemundo, I believe. And I scored in the 9th minute to open up the scoring in that game. And to listen to it back and hear him commentate it and do the goal thing, I get goosebumps every single time. It is epic.
Oh yeah, you know what? I can't get enough of Ray Hudson. He's my favorite. He's like a He's got to be Scottish.
Is it guttural?
Right?
Like just from the gut.
Yeah. He's the one who was like where they were showing Tom Cruise in the audience and his co-announcer was like, "Are you talking about Tom Cruise?" He goes, "Will you stop talking about Hollywood actors, Phil? If he smelt a sock of dogs."
He's a magician. He's a magician with words. I can tell you that.
Yes, he absolutely is. Well, Charlie, this is, as I said, yesterday was the day. Like I've loved everything about the World Cup, but the game or the matches that I was watching, I happened to pick the ones that were like, you know, 0-0 or 0-1. And I've got to be honest, from somebody who's like, you know, I'm not somebody who watches soccer all the time. It was like I was a little down on it. But after yesterday, I'm all in. There is nothing better than this knockout run. I am in, Charlie. You got me.
Do you know how long I've fought for this?
I believe it.
All of you guys in studio, for everybody that's in the New England sports sphere to be like, hey, soccer's cool. Soccer's fun.
And the best thing is I didn't even care what teams it was. Like if USA, listen, I want USA to win, but if they get knocked out, I still don't care. These games are awesome. Yeah, it's just the drama's fantastic.
Oh, my God. Do you know how beautiful that sounds? I've been waiting my entire life to hear that.
No,
soccer's not boring.
Well, I can't guarantee you I'm going to say that a month from now. But right now, I am all in, Charlie.
I'll take it, Charlie.
Thanks for coming on. That's Charlie Davis. We love having you on. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
All right. So USA, are they favored in this Bosnia-Herzegovina?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes, they
yeah, they right. they haven't beat a European team in the last 10 tries in the World Cup, but they are still favored over Bosnia, yes.
Okay. Twitchers were upset that I said 1980. If they win the World Cup, a lot of pushback on that. Do you think it would be a bigger deal?
I think that's a fair question. I think it's a really good question.
You know what? To me, it wouldn't mean as much, and here's why, is that it was the Russians, and it was the 80s.
And it was the Cold War.
It was the Cold War. Like, that was everything. Yeah, yeah.
Would be an embarrassment for the world. If the U.S. would win, like, it would be...
Would it be really effing cool? Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
But, man, the 80s, Cold War, America versus Russia, the Miracle on Ice... It's going to be hard to ever top
that. And it's not like the people knew who the players were. They were these college players that were kind of just unknowns.
Yep.
But still, nonetheless, where we were as two nations, I just think that it was good versus evil, man. It was, the commies
Drago.
Versus, us. So, so to me, I don't think it will touch the 1980, but it's an interesting comparison.
Today's Insider presented by Fanatic Sportsbook. Winning hits different here.
All right, 617-779-7937. Let's get to some of this Jaylen Brown stuff. We got free agency starting in 2.5 hours, so the Celtics might be making a move soon. We know that LeBron is no longer a Laker. We'll get to that as well right after this. Oh, man. This has got to be a Jackson pick, right? What is this, Jackson?
Modern Earth.
Oh, yeah, because of Norway?
Yeah.
Viking metal.
Put you back into the ore. They do that during this song.
They do. They were doing the road just now, so Norway beats Ivory Coast.
But if you're a Viking, you can't cry. What is Erling Haaland like in tears after the match?
That's a good point. Yeah, Vikings don't cry. That's a very good point.
Hell? Vikings do not cry. They pillage.
I don't understand. That was a little strange. But, good for Norway. You know, Norway, they are.
They haven't gotten this far since 1998. In fact, they haven't gotten into I don't think even the knockout round since 1998. So this is a big deal for Norway.
It is. But I do believe that you said it best, Ken. When they came into town, they were a one-hit wonder. They did the row, and then that was about it.
It's a good hit. I mean,
they did the row everywhere.
It's not going away.
It's right. They did it up like Escalator. They did it, over in the Boston Common. They, did it in the middle of traffic.
And before we get any texts, I know Mona Martha is Swedish, but they proposed to be Vikings.
I thought they were Norwegian. Well, I did not know they were Swedish. Well, how dare we get that wrong? All the Amon Amarth fans are going to come after you there, Jackson. How about
best one-hit wonder of all time, Save Tonight, Eagle Eye Cherry.
Ooh, that is the worst great take song. In the history of takes.
Unbelievable song in the
90s. That's perfectly fine, but best one-hit wonder?
It's awesome.
A lot of
every
good
time it comes
wonders.
On, I'm like,
Take
crank
on
it
Me
up.
By Aha. Oh,
that's
yeah.
a great one, yeah.
Breakfast at Tiffany's, Deep Blue Something.
Pretty good.
We're going to do worse one-hit wonders. That's now we're talking. Save Tonight by Eagle Eye Cherry is the best one-hit wonder? Oh, man.
I just hit me. What's that? I was trying to, what's that song? And then I just played my head tonight
and fight the break of dawn.
Okay, earworm tomorrow. Tomorrow be gone.
No, I see. See, his sister, Nana Cherry, had a better song, and that was Buffalo Stance. So don't. You get fresh with me. I don't know if you knew that.
We hang in a Buffalo Stance.
Yeah, very good. Right. That was like a late 80s, early 90s. It was like 94, maybe, or somewhere around there in the height of the New Jack era. Well, I don't even know what we were going to talk about. Oh, yeah. Jalen Brown.
Yep.
It all comes back to Jalen Brown, doesn't it?
You ready for the Nets proposal?
You know what? Let me just, before you get to the Nets proposal, because I'm going to hate it, is that that report right there from Shams should obviously make you very angry if you're a Celtics fan. And I don't know who you're angry at. Are you angry at the whole situation? Are you angry at Brad Stevens?
Yes,
are you angry at Jalen Brown for possibly driving his own value down and knowing you can't get anything? Who are you mad at? Because you should be angry. Because what this has done is this has created a behind-the-scenes rift between the organization and Jalen Brown, which is real now. It's not implied because Adam Himmelsbach of the Boston Globe wrote this morning that Jalen Brown is upset with how everything has been handled. And how can you not be? How can you not be when you're I mean, the way he's been acting, he's kicking and screaming and yelling at people on Twitter because of analytics and all of this. And he's got a right to be pissed. He does. But what you should also be pissed about is that the crap you're getting offered right now that is actually even being considered, if they take any of this, then Brad Stevens goes from being the executive of the year to probably one of the worst executives I've seen in my lifetime.
Wow.
Honestly,
you're
going to give away Jalen Brown for peanuts for, as Sham said, 40 cents on the dollar? Honestly.
Does that seem like would that be a Brad decision, or is that a from on high, where, you know, you're trying to salary dump kind of thing?
I mean, it's a great point. I don't know who it is, but it's going to fall on Brad. It's going to fall on Brad.
I mean, everybody was in Brad. We trust. I mean, he hasn't made feels like a bad deal since he's been here, other than the Vucevic. Okay, but that was to get under the apron, so you can understand that. I mean, the guy's pretty much been flawless since he's been here, man.
The only thing Brad can do to save himself, if they end up like getting garbage, like either picks or they get some players who you'll have to Google their name to figure out who they are. If that's what you end up getting, the only thing that can help is if he's able to salvage and build a team around it and possibly, like, this isn't the end of the moves. Mm-hmm. But man, yeah, you got a guy who was an MVP candidate last year, an MVP candidate who won a championship 2 years ago. If you get rid of him for almost nothing, I mean, outside of Mookie Betts, can you think of a more of a disastrous trade than that?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I'm curious about the whose fault will it be. Is it the owner's because he wants to save money? Is it Brad's because he misread the market? Or is it Jalen Brown, who went on Twitch and basically hurt his brand by saying the things he said so that he made it harder for him to get traded? So there's a lot of blame, I think, to go around this.
But point blank, period, he needed to get the honest trade done. Once you engaged, you could not fail to get that trade consummated, and now everything's public.
That's interesting, yeah.
And I'm not going to say the phrase, but they have to get rid of Jalen. That's what Perk's saying. You can't
you say the two faces out of the two.
I almost went there.
if this is all because you didn't want to trade Hugo Gonzalez,
Baylor Shireman.
That's not the owner's fault,
right?
Isn't that funny that we're going to look back and say that's where the line was?
Yeah,
you better be good, Hugo, without an H, Hugo. You better kill it. Because
he's going to the summer league, by the way. They're sending the poor guy to Vegas.
We got to be honest. Like, but do you think before that we got the trade was made with the Miami Heat, did we think that the Celtics needed to throw in those two guys?
No.
With Jalen Brown to get him?
No.
So that's probably what Brad was thinking too. Like, really?
I'm sure they asked, right? Like, we'll do the deal if you include this, this, and this. And he said no. And he obviously called their bluff, you know.
All right,
they did.
Give me the Nets offer because I'm not going to like it, but give it to me.
Jake Weinbach says Brooklyn has shown real interest and should be viewed as a serious suitor for the All-NBA wing. They are capable of building an enticing trade package that would involve Michael Porter Jr. and multiple first-round picks.
Okay. I'm a fan of Michael Porter Jr., but please, are we serious here? man.
This is a disaster.
He is a title winner.
Yeah. But multiple picks, Brooklyn, and they're going to be good if you send Jalen Brown there. So as I say, you're not going to get high draft picks.
You're keeping Jalen Brown in the East. He is going to make you pay. if you get rid of him. If you keep him in the East, he will make you pay.
Boy, that'd be fun to watch.
I love that Porter also averaged 9 threes attempted a game last year. Oh, so he is a big-time three-point shooter. So he's a good one.
There's a certain coach licking his chops right now when he hears that.
36% from three, but he's going to shoot a lot.
Oh, what a disaster.
And even though it's the free agency starts tonight at 6, I don't think I was listening to Windhorse this morning. There's no real pressure to get a deal done because of that. So that really is a moot point as far as whether or not Jaylen Brown.
You don't
Brown
think there's any incentive to figure out who your team is? And your other suitors are going to make moves.
I would think yes, but listening to Windhorse when he was asked that very question, he's like, no, that it shouldn't impact the team's decision at all.
By the way, it's almost finalized. Shams just tweeting this seconds ago. The L.A. Clippers are nearing a deal to send Kawhi to the Raptors for Brandon Ingram, Gradley Dick, 2 first-round picks, a pick swap, and 2 second-round picks.
Huh.
So Kawhi going back to Toronto. And wow. I'm telling you, Rich, the fact that Kawhi, I know he's not a big man, but if you're going to trade Jaylen, Kawhi was probably the next best option. Shouldn't you have been in on trading for Kawhi?
He's so old, though.
But don't you think there's...
If you're in it to win it...
Their games are comparable. I feel like Kawhi and Jaylen are kind of similar players.
That's fine.
Kawhi had a good year, but Jaylen...
I don't know.
Jaylen and Jason play well together. They do. There's chemistry there.
Well, not anymore if that bridge is broken.
If the toothpaste is out of the tube. Listen, you can't get the fart back in your butt. You can't unlick the stamp.
That's the best.
That's Kawhi's laugh.
You never heard that laugh?
Oh, that is Kawhi. That's right.
I was going to say.
That's
that's like the Rex Ryan Foot video. If you haven't heard that, that's the best laugh ever, man.
It's great, too, because you never hear him laugh.
No?
So when he did that, it was kind of like, oh, my goodness. Holy moly. All
man,
right.
All well, these big names getting traded, and JB still stuck here.
Still a Celtic.
Yep.
Still a Celtic. If I'm the Celtics boy, the way to get out of all this is just keep Jaylen, and I wouldn't give him an extension, but I would take him, like Bill Simmons suggested, take him to a nice steak dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think any of these moves right now that have been made impact anything? Like, so Kawhi goes to Toronto, we John Morant go to Portland, we got LeBron probably going to Golden State, although maybe Cleveland, we had Giannis going to Miami.
I think if LeBron went to Miami or Cleveland, I don't see him going to Golden State with all the old timers. That to me would be an intriguing team to watch. I would love watching it. I don't think there would be serious contenders, but so far, I don't think any move that has been made is moves the needle that much.
I think Miami for LeBron is a great move. Like that's a good team. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you add them, because I mean,
him and Giannis, Adebayo,
and that's a great team.
And Wiggins re-upped.
Yeah,
and Wiggins. Yeah,
but you take a look at what's going on in Golden State, and the rumor is that it's going to be LeBron James. They're trying to get Anthony Davis there. Then they've got Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Al Horford,
Jimmy Butler,
and I love it. Somebody called it the NBA's Expendables, and it's true. It really is.
Like Cocoon.
All right, it would be fun to watch. You know what? Somebody actually put a picture of the starting five, and it said, who could stop this? And somebody said, arthritis. Bad knees.
But isn't LeBron to Golden State contingent on Anthony Davis being traded from the Wizards?
I think that's what they're trying to work out
awesome,
right now.
Man. You got a guy that, like, the greatest basketball player, arguably, of all time, is wants you, so you can get out of a place like Washington to go play with him.
What about Bronny? What happens to him?
Yeah, he just made more money with the Lakers.
Absolutely. All right, 617-779-7937. By the way, Ted, we have a better news for you, because I feel like I peed in your cornflakes yesterday when I played you, or I told you about that list where Drake May was number 61,
yes,
ranked number 61. Some good news. There is somebody out there who thinks very highly
of
your New England Patriots. A little bit of respect on their name. Let me know if you think they're maybe going a little overboard, or is there a happy medium between the two? We will get to that right after this. It is 93.7 WEEI, Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson, live from the Ketchus Law Injury Attorney Studios. No fee unless you win. And yesterday, Ted, I was telling you about CBS came out, because it's list season when it comes to the NFL, and they came out with their list of the top 100 players in the NFL. And it was absurd that they had put, in my opinion, it was absurd, and I believe all of our opinions, that Drake May, the guy who was the runner-up for MVP last year, was number 61 on this list, which is absolutely absurd. I think he was the 8th quarterback, I believe.
8th or 9th, yeah.
Behind Jared Goff and, what's his name from Green Bay?
Jordan Love.
Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Lane Johnson was 20 spots ahead of him. Lane Johnson's like 36 years old coming off an injury. It seemed like one of these deals where I was looking at it thinking, is this the way that the media is going to treat the Patriots.
Yep. Dak Prescott. Had,
Dak Prescott was way ahead of him.
I felt like Pete kind of put guys that were maybe more accomplished as opposed to better than Drake in front of him. But whatever.
But, you know, for every list like that, you like to think that there's somebody else who thinks in a completely different light. And I heard this morning, and I thought this was interesting. Jason McCourty, what show was he on?
Get Up.
So Jason McCourty was on Get Up, and, you know, he was asked about the New England Patriots, and here's what he had to say. This is getting it ready? All right.
And by the way, Jason, not as big of a homer as Devin. Jason obviously played here, but I feel like Devin is the bigger Patriots honk. I mean, anybody who thinks about them will be like, oh, this New England homer, whatever.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I mean, right. But Devin obviously is very pro-Patriots.
Yes.
Very much so. Jason, I guess I don't really know, to be honest. But is he a honk or not?
I feel like he is. I feel like
you do. Okay.
Yeah, really? I feel like he's more. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
he does the preseason games.
By the way, do you get that feeling that this is going to be a season that people are going to just have that bad taste in their mouth from the Super Bowl, and they're going to, I guess, downgrade how good they think the Patriots are because of that? Or
it's definitely. Are you kidding me? Absolutely. And it's not only the Super Bowl, but even though they won three games to get to the Super Bowl, the playoffs, they're all going to look at the performances in the playoffs. That the playoffs weren't they won such an ugly fashion, and the quarterback, you know, didn't have his best game. So the people, that's really more fresh in their minds than the 14-win regular season.
Okay, we're going to get to that clip in just a second. Let's get to, real quick, let's go to line two. Alex, what's up, man? How's it going?
Hey, Alex.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
I can. What's up, buddy?
All right. Love the show. I just wanted to say that earlier you guys were talking about how you don't think that Jalen and Jason are going to be as good on the court because of the trade rumors and stuff like that.
Oh, I didn't say that. No, Alex. I'm the opposite of that. I think that those guys are.
Oh, really?
Yeah, basketball. I think basketball-wise, they'll be perfectly fine when they get on the court. No. Don't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. I just have to say, in that case, then I have to agree with you guys. I think whoever's saying that is bogus, because even if there is some sort of issue between Jalen and the front office, he's a professional at the end of the day, and I think it's ridiculous to think that would affect the on-court play at all.
Yeah, you know, thank you, Alex. And you know what I was talking about, too, is that I believe that we were saying, is this going to be, and going down is if they trade him for, you know, these no-name players that are being thrown
out there.
Trey Murphy, right. If they get Trey Murphy in picks, I don't want to say no-name players, but obviously nobody nobody's name outside of Jamal Murray has been as big as Jalen Brown.
Donovan Klingon?
Oh, God, I hate these names.
Şengün?
It pisses me off. If they're to make this trade, if the Celtics are insistent on getting rid of him, does this go down as one of the worst recent trades? And I don't want to go down to, you know.
You're not going Babe Ruth?
I'm not going Babe Ruth. But I'm talking the last
Joe Milton. Joe Milton is high on my list. Ted knows that.
But, I mean, does this go down as one of the worst trades in Boston sports recent history?
Yes.
I mean, Mookie's obviously the recent gold standard, right? I mean,
Mookie's the gold standard right now.
Does it matter? I mean, part of it is you have to see how JB does with the other team, you know, and how it's the initial trade. If it's just for draft picks, I think people will think it's the worst trade ever made.
Now, would you hold off, even if it's just for draft picks and they intend to just make these picks, do you have to wait 10 years for Brad to work his magic, like to see who this pick turns into?
I mean,
if the Celtics have drafted well, to their credit, going back to Danny Ainge, obviously they drafted Jalen and Tatum, you know, so that's before Brad, but he was a coach, so maybe he had some input. I don't know.
Ted said it best. Here's one of the reasons why this is so bad, if they end up making this trade. They didn't have to do it.
That's what makes it so bad, is they did not have to do it.
But you don't know that. We don't know how bad it is between the two Jays.
I think we would know. I think if it was really bad, I think we would have heard stuff, no?
I mean, the fact that Tatum is silent, so that's bad. All we have is memes and Stephen A., you know, allegations. But it could be awful. You grant that. There's a chance.
But based on what, though? Like,
based on Jason's silence, that's the only thing I can think.
Based on results that we're seeing, that they're so hell-bent. The Windhorse clip saying they are trying to trade
with
anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. You have
is stunning.
Do you have the Eisen? You got it? Okay. This is Rich Eisen with Brian Windhorse, and this is very telling.
I never, ever say never.
Yes.
So I guess it's not impossible that Jalen Brown and the Celtics could get back together, but I think that's highly unlikely.
Is it because he was offered for Giannis?
They're offering him everywhere, Rich.
I mean, stop it right there. They're offering him everywhere.
Yeah, I know, but that doesn't answer the question.
Yes, it does. There has to be a cause to that effect. And the cause is what?
But why would JB hold it against JT?
I don't know why.
That's the question.
I don't know. I mean,
for not having his back.
Yeah.
You played in pro football all those years. there had to be some things that happened behind the scenes that the media never got hold of, right? That were just bad situations.
No? I feel like most of it gets leaked, man.
It does?
Oh, if it's really bad, like if something big names, like, yeah. Like, I think we all, I don't know, Lawyer Malloy gets cut. Why does he get cut? Well, because Bill didn't want to pay him what he was asking him. That gets out eventually. You might not know that originally. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think of all the things that happen where you go, we don't know. I mean, other than Malcolm Butler playing in the Super Bowl.
Well, Malcolm Butler.
That's one where we don't have an answer to. But right. Most stuff, there's an explanation eventually that comes out. So mm-hmm. I have, like the last caller just said, I feel like they could work it out. They're going to be fine. I don't know if they're going to play their best together because of this, but I don't.
Well, that's what I mean. The caller said it's not going to affect them on the court. They're professionals. If it's really bad and they don't, it could. I mean,
I just have a feeling.
The rock back. You know, once JB gets it, he's not passing.
Is that
it
any
back.
Different? You say they play well together. They don't play off of each other. They don't set screens for each other. They don't pick and roll for each other. They don't do two-man games together.
I mean, they did in 2024. They did, obviously. Pretty
they
well.
Yeah, they won a championship.
But the last 2 years,
I mean,
they're
on
right.
The same team, but they don't play, I don't think, well off of each other is my point.
Hmm. It's not Shaq and Kobe.
It's not. And it's probably because they're two wing players, maybe. I think that's part of it. And they're both, like, ball dominant, part of it. Both of them want the ball at the end of the games, part of it. So there's reasons for that.
Yeah, you can make this still work. But what the problem is that I thought plan A was Giannis, and plan B was kiss Jaylen Brown's ass, say sorry about, like, offering up in a trade. Let's go try to build yeah. around you and win another championship. Yeah. I thought that was plan B.
You were surprised that he was still – wait a minute, he's still on the market?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what?
And then the four first-round uh-huh. picks, and then Brian Windhorst. They're giving it to everybody. Everybody wants a piece of Jaylen. Everyone's they're trying to offer him everywhere.
Yeah. No, they are presenting offers. It's not like they're waiting for offers. But that's pretty telling to JB. Does that humble him? Maybe that makes him work even harder. Maybe he's not mad at the Celtics because the other teams around the NBA view him similarly.
Well, I do agree with this. If you're going to wait, you could wait. I think you could get through half a season, even if it's ugly, you could still manage that for a little while. Maybe not the whole year. But you could wait until the trade deadline, right? That's one option.
Boy,
even if they never really make it better, they coexist for a while.
I just think that if you tell Jaylen Brown, hey, man, we're cool, you can't trade him at the trade deadline unless he's acting like a dick. Unless he's like being a player under duress. That right. word's a, well,
that's
I love
what
that.
That's what I'm expecting.
See, I don't think
you
that.
Said they're not going to pay him the extension. Well, so that's going to be
right,
another issue.
Not right now. I mean, they don't have
okay,
to offer him the extension.
How's that going to go?
Perfectly fine.
I don't know if he's. Do you think he's expecting it?
Well, if he comes back here, he damn well is. Yeah.
You think if he was traded to another team, he'd expect the other team to give him an extension away?
I would think so.
Dude, he's got three more years
Man,
on this deal.
I don't know many teams that would give a guy an extension 3 years in advance.
Honestly, that might be part of the problem. Maybe they are asking teams to trade for him, and then they speak to Jalen's agent, and he's saying, well, we want the extension if we're coming to
that's
play
That's
my
with point.
You.
A lot of this might be on Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
Now, you were all mad at Brad, but I think Jaylen Brown is almost just as maybe complicit in this as Brad is.
Dude, nobody wants Jaylen Brown. Nobody wants Jaylen Brown.
Well, they want him. They want him at a bargain. You know, they don't want to.
Some smart GM is going to get him at low prices.
Dude, the most winning player in the last 10 years, yeah. And nobody wants him.
Right.
Right?
Someone's going to get a Mercedes for the price of a Geo Storm.
That's right.
I haven't heard of a Geo
Storm.
Man. Wow.
I saw a Geo Storm in a parking lot, and I was like, wow, a Geo Storm.
That is true, and then that will barely pass Joe Milton as the worst trade.
The year. Because he is going to be, mark my words, whatever team he goes to, if he gets traded, he's going to have the best year of his career. And it is going to be like fire and brimstone. And he's going to make the Celtics regret it, and Celtics fans are going to get so pissed.
No, it depends where he goes. If he goes to Denver, he and Jokic will be a team. That
oh,
would be
my
awesome.
God, dude. Him and Jokic together? Oh, that team's going to rule.
Yeah, they would. I would agree with that. Now, do you like Murray? That's the one that you're kind of soft on a little bit.
No. I like Murray, but I don't think you need to trade Jaylen Brown for Murray. To me, it's like, don't make the trade.
It's Murray and Cam Johnson.
Cameron Johnson.
I still don't think you make that
Two
trade.
Two starters right there.
I know. All right, 617-779-7937. We're not going anywhere. We'll be back in 2 minutes.